Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Baskin and Phelps, Dan Menigan is in today for Jeff as we get ready for the big game coming up on Sunday. The Browns and the Lions, they'll square off, and you'll be able to listen to it right here on 92.3 The Fan. We get a little more insight, especially that Cleveland perspective that I love so much. Even though he is now the voice of the Tampa Bay Rays, we know him, we love him as a cherished member of our community. He is Brian Anderson on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Cherished member of the community. I don't think anyone's ever said that about you before, Brian. I just want you to know that.
No, I guarantee you they have not. They have not. But I will take it from you, and I certainly appreciate the first time it's ever been said.
There we go. And also the first time today, your baseball team that you played for here in Cleveland is now officially the Guardians. And I think it's interesting. I like the hat with the C, with the, I forgot, the crooked whatever.
Diamond C.
Logo. The Diamond C. It reminds me of your Arizona stuff when you played for the Diamondbacks. You with me on that, or what do you think?
You know what? I haven't seen the new stuff, so I can't even comment on it. I'll take your word for it. But, yeah, I have not seen the new gear. I saw that it had dropped. However, I was in the middle of a very good and intense workout, so I said I'll get to it after I get off with Andy and Dan.
I thought you were going to say I was in this very intense sleep. And I was trying to prioritize sleep and looking at the new Guardians gear, and I went sleep.
No. I am interested to see exactly what it looks like. You know, the uniforms, the hats, whatever they have put out there. There's definite interest, but to this point, I have not seen it yet. But, if there's a part of it that you like, that's a good thing.
I like the hats. So when the Indians decided they were going to change their name in the offseason to Guardians – I mean, you're around Major League Baseball from a much different perspective than we are sitting here in Cleveland. I mean, you're at games where there is no affiliation whatsoever other than the fact that you played for this team, and maybe there might be some other people in the park that have played or, you know, have done. What do you think the overwhelming feeling in Major League Baseball is about the name change to the Guardians?
You know, it's funny because the vast majority of people and – we've talked about this previously, but the vast majority of people, quite frankly, that I have come into contact with and am in contact with within the game, never thought the name should have been changed in the first place. That being said, once they decided to, I think it was met from what I've been exposed to, it has been met with a collective, don't necessarily dislike it, but it certainly doesn't grab anybody, and you know, nobody's wowed by the name. Nobody's completely turned off by the name. The only thing that I have heard, or a lot of what I've heard leaning in the negative, is, well, they kept half the name. They kept the IANS, you know, joking around like that. But overall, I think it's just been a collective, okay.
All right, so I got to ask you an actual baseball offseason question, and I promise we will get to Browns after this. It seems like the hot stove's kind of bubbling a little bit. We're getting a little bit of move. We're getting a little bit of action. Eduardo Rodriguez heading to the Tigers. The Jose Berrios signing with the Blue Jays and all that stuff. What do you make out of this?
I think teams are trying to get bargains before the game shuts down December 1st. That's what I think. I think that teams have been talking to representatives, getting a sense of who's eager to sign and who's not, and they're sweeping in and at good prices before the game shuts down, because I think that there's going to be a lockout. And I think if you read the tea leaves and you read between the lines with what Rob Manfred had to say either yesterday or the day before, it seems like that's almost the strategy. Let's have a lockout, and then that will spur talks moving forward, because now the clock starts ticking. And so I think that, again, these teams are looking around to see who can we pull in. Can we get them at what we think might be an advantageous price? And that's what you're seeing. So you're seeing some movement now, and I have a feeling that in, you know, another week or week and a half, it's going to dry up and get very quiet, and then the wait is on to see when this gets resolved.
Could that be good news for Cleveland's baseball team? The way you laid it out made it sound like it could be.
Well, I mean, in what sense?
Being able to pick up a bargain, a good player at a bargain price.
But are mid-level teams going to do that?
Yeah, that's
our good point. Because the guys that they're going to go after are guys that are going to say, look, there's not a ton of downside for me to wait and see what the collective bargaining agreement turns out to be. Maybe that helps me. I already know that I can get X, which is okay, but I would rather gamble that okay for something better. Those are the types of players that the Rays, the Indians, the Pirates, those are the types of players that those guys are going after. Eduardo Rodriguez is going to be a guy that is in demand. He's a left-hander. He throws strikes. He's shown stretches of being very, very good, even though the overall numbers are kind of middle of the road. But he's going to be in demand. So all of a sudden, a team like Detroit, who can spend some money, wants to spend some money, they jump in and they go, hey, 5 years at 77, that's a lot of money, but Eduardo Rodriguez a year or two ago would have got 5 years at 100. So that's not that bad of a deal. And you know, you hate to say $77 million is a bargain, but it almost looks to be, given what the market has been previously. But Eduardo Rodriguez doesn't want to roll the dice and see, you know, what at the end of the day, what the CBA is. Maybe there's a crunch. You know, if the deal gets signed late, think about all the free agents sitting on the sideline that have to find teams within a week or two before camps start to open up. I mean, it could get real dicey. So a guy like Eduardo Rodriguez looks at $77 million and says, I'm good with that, and I'm good with that right now, and then I can rest my mind and take the rest of the offseason off. And those are the types of guys that teams have felt out, and they're trying to make a quick move on.
All right, BA, let's move to football. Baker's shoulder is hurting him. He has one knee injury. He's got another injury. He's got another knee injury. He might have an ankle injury, according to our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. He's got all sorts of stuff going wrong with him. Would you sit him this week against the Lions?
I would. I absolutely would sit him this week against the Lions, because here's the bottom line. The Browns have been just difficult to watch that team, and the last 2 weeks tell the entire tale. You watch them against the Bengals and you go, wow, this team is legit. Both sides of the ball, running it, throwing it, defense, blanketing receivers. This team, I mean, they could make their run now. And then they get completely dismantled by the Patriots. That was an embarrassment and an embarrassing game to watch, because they not only got beat up, but they got bullied. They got pushed around. They looked like the kids were playing the adults in a Thanksgiving game in the backyard, is what it looked like. And I was, you know, texting back and forth with you guys, and you got the sense early in that third quarter, and I don't remember who I had texted to, but I said, Belichick's going for 50. He's going to embarrass these guys. And they very easily could have done that. I saw them get bullied. I think at times I saw there was some quit. There was some let up. There was some, we're going to rest our bodies and play for next week, which made me sick to my stomach to watch. And so it's furious to watch that the week after the Bengals. So you go up against the Lions team, and you've got a quarterback that, God bless him for wanting to be out there. You love his toughness, but it's a new injury every week. And if you cannot go out at home against the Lions and beat them with Case Keenum as your quarterback, you don't deserve it anyway. So I would absolutely let him rest up. If all these injuries, if it's all true and legit, then I would. I would roll the dice with Case Keenum and go from there.
I'm just the honeymoon for Kevin Stefanski really feels over. I'm still baffled why they abandoned the run so quick. I understand they were down 21-7, but it was still super early in the game. And D'Ernest Johnson had a great first drive, and it was almost like they forgot about that after Baker threw the pick. One of the biggest things about Kevin watching that game on Sunday was, like, why are we abandoning the run so quick? I mean, if you think about it, they rushed the ball, what, 20 times in that game? And D'Ernest Johnson did it 5 times on that first drive. Like, I just think that that was a real learning experience for Kevin, who I know everyone wants to say coach of the year last year, but it is the NFL.
You know, yeah, here's the thing. That first drive, so impressive, like you said, running the ball right down their throat. You go in and you punch it in. And then all of a sudden, you are all of a sudden smarter than everybody. Now, okay, guess what? They're going to load up to stop the run because we just pushed them around with it. So now we're going to pass. Well, all of a sudden, that didn't work, and the defense thought it was a two-hand touch tournament. So the defense is getting just blitzed off the field. And like you said, now all of a sudden it's 21-7. At what point then, and Bill Belichick says, we're just going to take that run away. And we're after the early interception and now 21-7, knowing that they have to pass, that it's a passing league, that all of these offensive gurus nowadays, they're high on the pass, even though Stefanski has shown the want to run. But most of the time, that's when the game's even or the Browns ahead. And so now all of a sudden, Belichick says, I'm just going to take the run away. I'm going to put enough guys in the box to force you to throw, and we don't trust that Baker Mayfield can beat our secondary. You know, that's what you don't know, how much of that was taken away, where you don't want to abandon the run, but you see the numbers aren't in your favor. And if you run, it's just run, you know, third down, force a punt. So, you know, that's what I don't know. But, you know, you're right. They did give up on the run early. I wonder how much of that was trying to chase points or how much of that was what they saw in front of them defensively as far as the front seven goes.
All right, B.A., let me just throw one more question. Where are you on the Browns can make the playoff meter? Like, what needs to happen?
An apocalypse. I think I do. I mean, seriously, let's think about this sanely. From what we've seen from this team, and a quarterback who has beat the smithereens, and a defense that has come not even close to living up to the hype, and, you know, they've shown periods of it, and they've shown glimpses of it, but they've never put a whole game, you know, together. Cincinnati, you could maybe make that case, but they got ahead of them so early that they made Cincinnati one-dimensional and you could unleash the pass rush and do all that stuff. But how many wins do they have left on the schedule? Do you count the Lions a win? That's 6-5. Okay, then you've got Bengals-Steelers. Would you give the Browns one of those games? That's 7 wins. You've got 2 against the Ravens. Do you give them either of those? If you give them a split, that's 8. Then you got Raiders-Packers. I mean, I really think at the end of the day, the Browns' best bolt is 9-8. And I hope I'm dead wrong, but I think that's the best they're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, think if – I'm with you. I agree with you. But I just think if they can win those games and they truly deserve to be in the playoffs, that's just it. They deserve it. If they can beat those teams, they do deserve to be in the playoffs.
Yes, because their schedule is not easy. And if you want to count the Lions as a gimme, and I wouldn't even do that at this point because, you know, you almost feel like the Lions are due. They tied the Steelers and they lost to the Ravens because of a bad call, a 4th-and-24 conversion, and a 66-yard field goal. I mean, think about that. If Tucker doesn't hit a 66-yarder, the
We lost him.
So you can't really count. And this has been a goofy year, too. So as much as you'd like to say, well, the Browns and the Ravens, you know, they got a tough schedule, we saw the Dolphins treat the Ravens like ragdolls. You know, we've seen different things. We've seen the Jaguars beat the Bills. Who saw that coming? So it's been a goofy year, and so they're not out of it. Of course they're not out of it. And you've got to win. Consistency that we've seen from them so far, plus now. It's just going to have to be.
All right, we got you, B. Hey, we were breaking up there a little bit at the end.
It's going to be Missouri. It's going to be Show Me. Show me, because I don't trust you.
All right, B.A., thank you. I hope you have a great weekend, and we will talk to you again next week.
Thanks, brother. Talk soon.
All right, boys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.